Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to see you this morning. Enjoying the cooler weather? Yes, amen. That's nice, isn't it? You know, as the weather's cool, the wind has picked up and the smoke has come back. And, you know, when you see the smoke, we got to pray for those people up in Mendocino and Redding area, huh? Because it's still terrible up there. Thanks so much for your generosity. We've been collecting gift cards. So we're going to send them some people with their boots on the ground up there. And if you'll notice in your bulletin, the total that's been collected so far is about $2,300. So thank you so much for that. Praise the Lord for that. And as you see the smoke, make sure you say a prayer for those folks. You know, a lot of great things happen in the fall. One of my favorite things to happen when the weather cools is it's time for football season again. And so we're excited about that. You know, Friday night I went to Placer High's football game, my alma mater, and played football there. We were the best football team ever in the history of school. Just saying. But we won. We won again last night, Friday night. So we're going to have another dominant team in the region again, and so I'm excited about that. Did Bear River win tonight? Yeah. They got lucky again, apparently, so it's fine. Okay. Nevada Union win? Okay, Lincoln won, I think, right? Colfax grads up here, all right? So I was excited. Go out and see a game or two. It'll be fun. You know, also, next weekend is college football kickoff. A couple weekends from now is NFL, so I brought my Charger cup up here this morning just to remind you that. Oh, yeah? Yeah. You boo my Chargers. Just remember, I stand up here every week, and I get to say whatever I want to say, okay? It's heartbreaking, I know, to follow the Chargers. So they lost another game yesterday, and so we're doing all right. The only way I can soothe my pain is to make fun of other teams, so that's what I'm going to be doing. That's right. Hey, we're wrapping up this morning our summer series, Navigating the New Testament. We've been trying to help us understand the second half of our Bible, the part from Jesus forward. And so we've been looking at a lot of different aspects of this part of your Bible. How is it structured? What are the main messages in it? What is the timeline? What are the key characters and people? So I hope you've enjoyed it. I know for some of us, it's just a bit of review. It's been a summer of reminding us of some things that maybe we already knew and bringing them back to the surface. For some of us that haven't walked through the New Testament before, we learned some new things. How to live for God. What does that mean on an everyday practical level? What does it mean to study the Bible, and why do I study the New Testament? So we've been looking at several aspects of the New Testament. This morning we're going to wrap it up, and I'm connecting our final message on navigating the New Testament with our connection fair today. And as you go out in the courtyard today, let me encourage you to stick around for a few minutes to have something to eat real quick. Go look at the ministry fair booths. I'll tell you why those are so vital, because it's an opportunity for you. It's not something we're trying to get you to do for the church, although it impacts the faith community at Auburn Grace. But we're doing this because this is how the New Testament has prescribed to us to run and to manage a church family like Auburn Grace. And so it's a great opportunity for you to do that. So we want to encourage you. In fact, I'm going to let you out about 10 or 15 minutes early. Don't applaud, please. I let you out a little bit early so that you can go out there and spend some time out there today. But this is the wrap-up of our summer series. Next Sunday, we're kicking into a brand new series in the book of 1 Corinthians. So if you want to read ahead a little bit, you can start reading 1 Corinthians. I picked that book because it's a church of just a bunch of messed up people. And they had some serious problems. And Paul was talking to them about how to deal with messy spirituality. All of our lives are a bit messy. And we're trying to follow Jesus, and we're trying to do it in our families and in our workplaces. And so 1 Corinthians is a great book on how to move from messy to mature. And so we're going to be talking about that starting next week. So if you want to look at that ahead, you can start there. This morning, I'm going to be in the book of Acts for a few minutes. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Before we get into Acts chapter 2, I just want to talk just for a minute about the last couple years here at our church. Behind the scenes, we've been trying to ask the question, what is Auburn Grace all about? About 15 years ago, we did this time of exploring our DNA. God, what do you have us to do? God, we know there's a lot of great churches in our community. Why do you have Auburn Grace here? What is it that you want us to do that's unique that maybe others don't do? Or what can we do to join others, you know, so that God can share with us what is it about Auburn Grace and what is it that he's asking us to do? And why does he have us here? We call that re-clarifying our DNA. So for the past year and a half or so, our leaders, our staff, some of our volunteers have gotten together and we've been brainstorming about the question, what is the vision that God has given to us here at Auburn Grace? It's probably a little bit unique to other churches, not better, just unique, because God wants us to do certain things, and when we partner with other churches and we do other things together, we reach more people for Jesus. So we've been asking ourselves the question, what is our church's DNA? And so we are here this morning to introduce our church's vision statement that's been revised a little bit from the past years. And here it is, very simply. Auburn Grace Community Church exists to make Jesus famous. That's why we're here. And you know, if we can summarize everything that the New Testament encourages us to do as a church family, this is what it is. We're just here to make Jesus famous. And we're going to do that by intentionally building relationships. That the only way I can make Jesus famous is if I share with people who I have a relationship with. So we're intentionally building relationships. And we're building relationships with other people to help them connect, to help them to grow, and to help to serve together. So Auburn Grace Community Church exists to make Jesus famous. You know, the Bible teaches us, and Jesus himself said it, that if we lift up Jesus, people are drawn to him. So we don't lift up Auburn Grace Community Church. We don't lift up our staff. We don't lift up individuals. We lift up Jesus because when Jesus is lifted up, when he's made famous, other people who don't know him will be drawn to him. Jesus said, if you lift up the Son of Man, all men will be drawn to him. So our goal here as a congregation is simply to make Jesus famous. We do that in our city through various components, to various ways. We do that in our region. We do that wherever God opens a door for us to go and make him famous. Making Jesus famous. But you know, in order for me as an individual to make Jesus famous to others, he first has to be famous where? In me. I can't make Jesus famous to others if he's not famous in me. And by famous, we simply mean he has the first place. Jesus is so incredible, he has the first place in my life. And then I can make him famous to other people. But it's very difficult for me to make him famous to other people when other people don't even see he's famous in me. So when we talk about making Jesus famous, the first step is making Jesus famous in my life, in my thought life, in my attitudes, in my decision making, in my passions, in my private world. Am I trying to make Jesus number one in all the areas of my life? Or do I have some doors to rooms in my life that I've kept closed? And that he's not allowed in that room. He's not allowed in that area. Or am I making him famous in me? Then he can be made famous through me. And we do that, making Jesus famous through us, by intentionally building relationships. I've said it many times, and I believe it with all my heart. God has you in the neighborhood in which you live intentionally, because there's people in your neighborhood in which you live that are searching for God. And so God is smart enough to put you there so that you can build a relationship with them and help them connect, grow, or serve. God has put you in the school that you're in. God has put you in your place of employment. God has put you in your retirement center. God has put you in that place in your family, because people around you are looking for Jesus. And God strategically has placed you there to build a relationship with them. So I don't go to work. I don't go to school just to do my own thing. I don't live in my neighborhood and stay secluded behind the door of my house. I try to build a relationship with people around me. Why? So that I can make Jesus famous. Because there's nothing better in life than helping people connect, grow, and serve Jesus. So that's what we're all about. So this year, we're going to hear a lot about these words, connect, grow, and serve. And again, we're not trying to do this as an organization. I'm not trying to recruit you to serve the organization or to connect with an organization. I'm trying to make it more organic and grassroots than that, that we would connect and that we would grow together and that we would serve together. Let me explain what I mean by a couple of examples. In Acts chapter 2, there's a couple of wonderful stories. The first story in Acts chapter 2 is about a bunch of people, 120 of them to be exact, were in a room in Jerusalem. Jesus had left and he told them, go to this room and wait for me. I'm going to send you the Spirit of God, which is going to empower you to do the witnessing and make me famous around the world. So in Acts chapter 2, these 120 people are waiting in the room and the Holy Spirit shows up. He fills their lives and they go out and they begin to make Jesus famous. But in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, we see how they're doing this together. Because over the last 2,000 years, that little group of 120 followers of Jesus Christ blossomed into today an estimated 3 to 4 billion people on our planet following Jesus. So how does 120 people grow to billions of people, and how do they do that together? It's right here in our text for us this morning. The first thing that we notice is that the connection takes place by intentionally building relationships that connect. Look at verse 42 of Acts chapter 2. They, this group of 120, and now thousands were added, and it says in verse 42, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of the bread, and prayer. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. The first thing that we see is that these folks are connecting with their Heavenly Father. They're spending time in prayer. They're spending time around the Word of God. They're spending time together in worship, and they're having meals together. They're doing stuff together. They're connecting with their Heavenly Father. Did you know that the greatest contribution you can make to another human being's life is to help them connect to God? In the deepest part of every human soul, because God wired it in there, is a deep connection to connect with God. Excuse me, is a deep desire to connect with God. Oh, we may have piled all kinds of stuff on top of that desire, trying to hide it or to squelch it or push it aside. But if you were to scrape away all of the desires of the human heart, the one that is at the center of it all is this deep desire to connect with their Creator. And there's no greater privilege that you and I have than to help other people connect with God. So the question is, how am I building relationships to help other people connect with God? To connect with their Heavenly Father. They were coming together and they were spending time praying. They were spending time listening. They were spending time learning. They were connecting with their Heavenly Father. In verse 44 through verse 46, it says that there, and those who had believed were together and held all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing with them all as anyone might have need. Verse 46, day and night continuing with one mind in the temple. So they were going to church together. And it says, and they were breaking bread from house to house. They were having meals together. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. Not only were they connecting with their Heavenly Father, they were connecting with other believers. God never intended for me and for you to live this life for Jesus isolated. There is this idea floating in our culture today, in our Christian culture, that this thing called organized church is bad. And there is a sense where ritualism can become very damaging. But let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. It's very clear in the New Testament that the way we connect with each other is vital in our walk with God. I need to connect with you to be what God wants me to be. And you need to connect with others. How connected do we feel with other followers of Jesus? And then finally, in verse 47, It says they were praising God and having favor with all the people. This is the people outside of the church of God. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. They were connecting with their neighbors. So when we talk about connection in my life as an individual and in your life as an individual, how are you doing in these three areas? Are you connecting well with your Heavenly Father? We've talked about that a couple of weeks ago. How do I stay connected to God? The New Testament is all about me staying connected with God. How do I do that? How am I doing with being connected to other believers? We heard from Jeremy this morning about a life group, and we started this whole new thing in our church, this whole new program. I don't want to call it a program because it sounds too orchestrated. This whole new dynamic in our church family called life groups. And the purpose of those life groups is not to be another Bible study to attend, but it's the whole purpose is to connect with other believers in life because we need to be connected with one another. That's how we do it. And then connecting with our neighbors. Intentional relationships that build connection. Now, let's go a couple of chapters to the right, if you will, to chapter 10. Chapter 10 is another interesting story that is given to us to learn from. And it's a story of one of the most famous apostles named Peter. And you know Peter. Peter was a little bit of a wacko in many ways. He was a bit of an extremist. He would often talk before he thought, and he'd get himself in trouble. And he also had a hard time learning new things. In Acts chapter 10, God is trying to teach Peter something new. And Peter is stuck in the old ways. And God has to show him over and over again, Peter, get unstuck and learn something new and grow as an individual, as a person. Here's the story. There's a man named Cornelius. Cornelius is not a Jew. He's a Gentile. He's a prominent person. He's trying to hear about Jesus. So he wants Peter to come to his house to tell his family about Jesus. Here's the problem. Peter is a Jew. He's a devout Jew. And before Jesus, the Jewish people had this idea that you were not allowed to go into a Gentile's house because somehow it would make you unclean. That was never God's plan, never God's intention, but the Jewish people kind of went to an extreme before Jesus. And now Jesus is trying to teach Peter a lesson. Hey, Peter, you need to get off your duff and you need to go to Cornelius' house because he wants to hear about Jesus. But Peter's stuck. Let's pick up the story in verse 9. It says, and the next day, as they were on their way and approaching the city, this is the people that Cornelius sent to bring Peter to their house, okay? So there's a group of people coming to Peter's house, inviting him to Cornelius' house. They're on their way. In verse 9, it says, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to spend some time praying. And he became hungry and was desiring to eat. But while they were making preparations, he fell into a trance. God's going to show Peter a lesson, and he's going to show him this lesson through a dream. And it says there in verse 11, and he saw the sky opened up and an object like a great sheet coming down, lowered by the four corners to the ground. And there were in it all kinds of four-footed animals and crawling creatures of the earth and birds of the air. A voice came to Peter and said, get up, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, by no means, Lord. You notice he knows who's talking to him, the Lord. For I have never eaten anything unholy and unclean. Apparently these animals that were in the sheet were amongst a group that was classified as unclean in Jewish people. Man, you don't eat unclean animals. Verse 15. Again, a voice came to him a second time. What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. What's God telling Peter? Peter, that dietary restriction list that you had before Jesus is done. From Jesus forward, there's no dietary restrictions. Why? Because food doesn't make you unholy. Say amen to that. Food doesn't make you unholy. In fact, Jesus said, you eat it, it goes to the stomach, and then it goes out. It's just food. Peter, you got to get over the past. You've got to change. You've got to think differently. And you'll notice in verse 16, this happened how many times? It took three times. So the sheet comes down. Peter, kill and eat. Nope, not doing it, Lord. Whatever I've made clean, don't make unclean. The sheet goes up, comes back down. Peter, eat. Nope. She goes up, comes back down. Peter, eat. Nope. Now watch this in verse 17. Now as Peter was greatly perplexed in mind as to what the vision which he had seen might be, behold, the men who had been sent by Cornelius, having asked directions for Simon's house, appeared at the gate, calling out. They were asking whether Simon, who's also called Peter, was staying there. And while Peter was reflecting on the vision, he's up on his roof, the Spirit of God said to him, behold, three men are looking for you. Get up, go downstairs, watch this, and accompany them without what? Misgivings, for I have sent them myself. You know what the greater lesson? This story tells that Peter needs to learn two lessons. Number one, food doesn't make you unholy. That's a huge paradigm shift for a Jew. The second thing that Peter had to learn is people don't make you unholy. I want you to get up, Peter, and I want you to overcome this idea that's ingrained in you from the past, and you've got to change. You've got to grow. That's a great example of how you and I, as we connect with God, he causes us to grow. Things that we used to think, he changes. Ways that we used to live, he changes. Because he wants us to be all that he wants us to be to reflect and make Jesus famous. But if I am stubborn in thinking I'm not going to change in that way, then God can never help me to grow. And if we're honest with each other, all of us have areas within our lives that need to grow. Do you remember Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6? It says this, he, God, who began a good work in you, will continue it until the day of what? Until the day of Christ Jesus. In other words, God started something in you and he's going to grow it in you until you see Jesus. So in other words, there's always going to be room for growth in my life. God has stuff he wants to do in my life. God has stuff that he wants to do in your life. You're messy on the inside. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are messy on the inside. See, intentional relationships help us grow together. Maturity in my spiritual walk. Maturity, growing, moving further down the road, taking that next step. That God wants me to be a better husband. God wants me to be a better father. God wants me to be a better man. He wants me to be a better employee. He wants me to be a better friend. I need to grow. He wants me to be a better Christian. How can I grow in my spiritual walk? How can I strengthen my daily relationships? People that you encounter every day in your life, are those relationships growing? Are those relationships improving? Or have they become stagnant because you haven't moved from something you used to think and used to do or used to be into something that God now wants you to think and do and be? Are their daily relationships growing? And then finally, expanding my personal development. I need to be a student of myself. Peter needed to learn something in Acts chapter 10 that was for his personal growth development. Where do I need to grow, God? Where do I need to change in my thinking or in my attitudes or in my actions? Are you stuck in your personal growth? So we need to connect with each other because as we connect with each other, it helps us to grow. Last January, we started a Wednesday night class for guys, and we've been going through a series on video called 33, and it's just been a great experience. In fact, when Wednesday Night Live ended in May, we decided, a small group of us, to continue to go through the summer, And as we've been going through this series, it's been wonderful to help us to be students of ourselves. And one of the things they're always telling us in that series is, are you teaching or telling the story of your life to yourself? Because it's fun for us to tell the story of our life to other people, but are we telling the story of our life to ourselves? Which means I could tell you where I need to grow. I could tell you where I need to develop in my relationships, but am I telling that to myself? Am I listening to my own story? We need intentional relationships to help us to do that. And then finally, let's go a couple of books to the right, maybe five or six books. I didn't count them, five or six books, to the book of Philippians. So intentional relationships build connection. Intentional relationships help us to grow together. And in Philippians chapter 2, we're introduced to this man who has a strange name. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 25, Paul is writing, and he is writing to the church in Philippi. That's why it's called Philippians. And the church in Philippi, the congregation there, really loved Paul, and he loved them. In fact, when Paul was traveling around the world making Jesus famous, this little church in Philippi was one of his greatest supporters and fans. In fact, they sent this guy that we're going to be introduced to, they sent this guy to Paul with a bag of money. And I said, Paul, here is some money to supply what you need while you travel around and make Jesus famous. And this gentleman stayed with him for a while. And so Paul wants to compliment the church about for sending this guy. Look in verse 25 of chapter 2. And it says, but I thought it necessary to send to you, what's his name? Epaphroditus. Moms, don't name your kid Epaphroditus, okay? He'll get beat up every day in school for that name. But I thought it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger and minister in my need. So he came from Philippi. He's the church's representation. They love him. They sent him to Paul with a bag of money to help Paul's expenses. And it says in verse 26, because he was longing for you all, and was distressed because you heard that he was sick. Apparently, Epaphroditus, as he was helping Paul, became deathly ill. And it says in verse 27, for indeed he was sick to the point of death. But God had mercy on him, not only on him, but also on me, so that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow. Paul says, I'm sure glad the Lord spared his life, because it would have been devastating to me and to you as a congregation. Verse 29, receive him, because he's coming back to you, receive him then in the Lord with all joy. And watch this. This is what I wanted to point out. And hold men like him in high regard. Do you want to know the kind of men that Paul holds in high regard? Verse 30, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what is deficient in your service to me. Epaphroditus was a great servant of the Lord. Now, I'm not suggesting that you work yourself literally to death for the Lord. That wouldn't be his plan. That wouldn't be good stewardship of my life, of your life. But certainly, are we serving the Lord? Are we serving him? Intentional relationships lead us to serve together. Why do they lead us to serve together, and how does that work? Well, number one, helping people clearly hear about Jesus. When you serve, you are helping people clearly hear about Jesus. Whether you're serving in student ministries, or whether you're serving in hospitality, or whether you're serving on the worship team, or whether you're serving in a Sunday school class or in the children's program, however you're serving, you are helping people clearly hear about Jesus. Remember where we started this morning? When we lift Jesus up, what happens? People are what? Drawn to him. And when you serve, you are lifting him up so that people can be drawn to him. Second of all, helping people authentically know him. Helping people authentically know him. When you serve, you help people not just hear about Jesus, but actually know him. What a great contribution that you can make to the life of another human being, helping them hear and know Jesus. And then finally, helping people sincerely live for Jesus. See, I believe the New Testament very clearly teaches that God has gifted each one of us individually so that we can connect. That we can connect to Him, we can connect to each other, we can connect to our neighbors, that we can grow together, and that we can serve together. And as we do this, God uses us. That's what this Connection Fair out in the courtyard is all about. It's not just to get you to sign up to do something for your church. It's designed to put you in a position where you can connect, you can grow, and you can serve. And so we want to encourage you today as we wrap up this study in the New Testament that we would learn, God, where do you want me to connect? God, where do you want me to grow? And God, where do you want me to serve? So we're going to end our service now a little bit early, and we're going to give you some time to go out in the courtyard just to look around, grab some food, a cup of coffee to drink, and connect with the ministry fair that's going on out there. So let's stand together and close our time in prayer. Lord, I thank you for the summer that we've spent in the New Testament. The facts that we've learned, the philosophies we've encountered, the goal that you have for us to walk daily with you. Lord, I pray as we launch into this ministry year that we all would connect, that we would all would grow, and that we would serve. Lord, there's no greater joy than connecting, growing, and serving. Lord, it's not a labor in which we are required. It's a joy that we can encounter. I pray for anyone here this morning that feels disconnected from you, Lord, that they would come back to you or come close to you. Thank you for the verse in the Bible, in the New Testament, that tells us if we draw near to you, you draw near to us. Lord, I pray that each one would grow, that we would see our life being transformed into what Jesus is like. That we wouldn't go for another season of stunted growth. And Lord, that we would have a passion to help others grow by serving them. Lord, we want to follow you and your pattern for church families, for faith communities. And Lord, we don't want the few to be serving many. We want the many to be serving the few. So Lord, show us a place that we can make an impact in the lives of others, and help us to put ourselves in a place where we allow others to speak into our lives so that we can connect, so that we can grow, and that we can serve. We dedicate this year to you. We dedicate our ministry to you as a whole. And Lord, we dedicate each family and individual that's here this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Thanks for coming. Have a wonderful day today.